Hereby recording is one of the professional voices of Ruth Draper. It's from the beginning of one of her sketches.
Come in. Come in, Signorina. Oh, I'm so glad you've arrived. I can't tell you how excited I am to think that we've arrived at last to the Divine Comedy. I'm really very proud. And I must tell you, Signorina, I read a little last night just before I went to bed.
And you Ruth know, Draper thought of herself as a character actress. She started performing at parties in New York society. She became a professional in 1920. Her stage career lasted almost 40 years. Today, her work is known mostly by admiring fellow actors, and her sketches scarcely survive. 7 recordings have now been released in a 2-CD set called Ruth Draper and Her Company of Characters. Susan Mulcahy is the producer. She talked with us about Draper's performances, beginning with the monologue titled The Italian Lesson.
One thing that she did that was, I think, really unique was she was able to conjure up the people that she's talking to so clearly that you can't just visualize her. You can see the little boy who's climbing up on the back of a chair. You can see the various, you know, the stream of servants that are coming into the room. And it's sort of a frenetic, crazy day, the Italian lesson in the society matron's life. But because the comic portraits come across so much better on audio tape, and that's what's available of her work right now, this one works really well.
The premise here is that her Italian teacher has come to her apartment, I gather, in New York.
Right.
And she keeps being interrupted for about a half an hour by various
right.
things that go on in a socialite's life.
Right. Well, she's got the maid coming in, and she's got to order dinner. Her friend calls her with some excellent gossip from a meeting the day before. A little dog arrives from the country. Her husband calls. Her lover calls. And the thing, it is, you know, it's funny, and it's satire, but she's not cruel to the character. That was one thing that was special about Draper's works. A lot of people who do this kind of work, they're a little bit mean to the characters that they're creating. It's a satire that's edged in acid, and Draper was not like that. She, in an interview, once said that she felt that everybody was a little bit ridiculous and a little bit pitiful, and she tried to show both sides in her portraits.
Let's play a little bit of the Italian lesson. This is where the dog comes in from the country, the little puppy.
Mi ritrovai per... Children, I told you not to come back. Now, darlings, please go out. I don't want to be interrupted again. What? Oh, has he come? How exciting! Signorina, I'm afraid we'll have to have one more interruption. Well, we've been waiting for days and days for a little dog who has just arrived from the country, and that he's just come, and the children are so excited they want me to see him. Well, he's only a puppy. He won't be long, and I rather want to see him myself. Well, bring him in, darling. Bring him in quickly, and we'll have a look at the puppy. Come on, quickly. Oh, you darling. Oh, isn't he adorable? Aren't we going to love him? I wouldn't hold him quite so tight, Bobby. Well, darling, Billy, put him on the floor, darling. Put him on the floor, darling, and let the baby pat him. Barbara, show the baby how to pat him. I don't want her to be frightened. Pat him on his head, darling. That's his tail. Pat him on his head. Don't pull his ears. Gently, gently. Isn't he soft?
What was going on the stage during this particular scene? You could almost, listening to it on radio, on the CD, almost envision the dog running around there.
Yeah, she was moving around. I mean, she used very few props. She would, she might have a shawl on, or she'd be sitting in a chair, but she did not use a lot of props, very little in the way of scenery. So it was all through her movement, and she was able, you saw the phone, you saw the spoon she was picking up, you saw her go after the dog, you saw the child come in, just the way she was patting the dog, you could see the dog. So she was really moving around quite a bit, but there was practically nothing in the way of props.
The voice she's using here, this is the socialite's voice, how overly arch is it? Is it a vocal caricature, do you think?
Yes, a little bit of one, although she came from that world. Draper, I was very unusual for somebody of her background to go on the stage. She was born in an upper-class family in New York City in 1884. Her circle of family friends included people like Henry James and Edith Wharton. And she began doing her portraits basically in the parlor, sort of to entertain people after dinner, and eventually started performing at charity events and for the well-known society hostesses of the day. There are very few tapes of her actually speaking, being interviewed, but her voice is a little bit similar to this, but she was able to actually do 2 or 3 different versions of a society woman's accent. She really had it down, and she was able to conjure up just in using her voice. Was really a musical instrument in many ways.
Right. Let's go now to a shockingly different voice, and this is an older woman in Maine, and let's hear a bit of it, and then I'll ask you.
What is it, Will? Well, I'm just going out on the porch. Well, I'll hear you if you call me, and I'll come back. I'm just going out to get a mate of air. I'll be sitting right here on the porch. I ain't going far. Hello, Hetty. Hello. Say, Hetty, how's your papa? I say, how is your papa?
I was very surprised to hear this Maine accent until I read in your Vanity Fair piece in November 1999 that she would spend her summers in Maine, and she was right in the center of that accent.
She knew it very, very well because she owned a house there. It was originally built by her mother in the late 1890s, and she wasn't really satirizing this woman. She was satirizing her own social world more than she was this old lady who had lived in the area her whole life. She really could absorb people in a way that was unique and that very few, I think, actors over the years have been able to do.
On the Porch in a Maine Coast Village is 16 minutes long. The Italian lesson is almost a half an hour. She would write these pieces. How much of what she's doing do you credit her writing as opposed to her performing?
I think it was evenly divided, and it's interesting because these were not actually written down on paper until very late in her career. When she was originally composing them, a lot of it was done by talking to herself, you know, practicing little bits and pieces aloud, then trying it out on friends. With Draper, it's really hard to tell, you know, whether you can separate the dancer from the dance because she's the composer and she's performing her own work and constantly improvising.
I want to take you to a three-part performance in which she plays a secretary, Miss Nichols, the secretary to Anthony Clifford.
Yes.
And then she plays Mr. Clifford's wife, and she also plays Mr. Clifford's mistress, Mrs. Mallory.
Right.
So we have this thing going on. At one point, Miss Nichols is on the telephone with Mrs. Mallory, and Mrs. Mallory is offering the secretary some of her old clothes.
Yes, I'll tell him that you called. Good buns. I beg pardon? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Mallory. Indeed I could. Oh, it would be no trouble. It would be a pleasure. Yes, I understand. One does get attached to one's things. Well, I have a few friends, Mrs. Mallory, that are about your size, and I know they would be grateful for anything you felt you wanted to dispose of. Yes, I could easily. And if it would be of convenience to you, I'll bring a suitcase and come to your house and take the things away, and then I'll tell you later who I give them to. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity, Mrs. Mallory. I shall love doing that. Thank you so much. Yes, I will. Goodbye, Mrs. Mallory. Thank you again. Goodbye. What a wonderful woman. Always thinking of somebody else. Hello?
Yes, Mrs. Clifford? I'm sorry, Mrs. Clifford. Mr. Clifford has this minute left the office. No, I can't very well reach him.
Yes.
He'll not be here before 2:30.
And we can tell from that tone of voice what kind of woman Mrs. Clifford is.
Oh, yes, it's a great transition. But Susan Mulcahy, I wanted to ask you about that. She, Miss Nichols, the secretary, is talking about and to Mrs. Mallory. And it seems so sad because, in a way, she's realizing her position in life as compared to the Mallorys and the Cliffords.
Yeah, it is. I mean, although at the end, her fiancé, Miss Nichols, is engaged, calls her, and her voice picks up, and she's a little more chipper. She's rushing out to meet him for lunch. So it's not like she's got a horrible life, but I think she does realize as she goes about organizing the daily lives, of particularly Mrs. Clifford, who can't seem to make a move without Miss Nichols organizing it for her, and Mr. Clifford as well. She probably is a little bit depressed, but I also find her to be kind of the type of character that just forges ahead and doesn't feel sorry for herself.
Right. Ruth Draper made these recordings when she was in her 70s, early 70s?
Yeah, she was about 70. I mean, the technology existed for many years for her to do the recordings, but she really felt that an audience was so important that she's very reluctant to do it. It really took a lot of persuasion to get her to go to the recording studio, and she was very uncomfortable.
If she was that good at 70 years old, what do you think it would have been like? And I know you talk to people who've seen her a lot. To watch her when she was, let's say, 45 years old.
To see her then, I mean, it must have been astonishing. And also, when I interviewed Uta Hagen herself, one of the, you know, most important actresses of the 20th century, she saw Draper perform something like 60 times. She was very nervous about meeting Ruth Draper because she so admired her and was so in awe of what she could do on stage.
Miss Mulcahy, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you very much, Noah.
Susan Mulcahy, the producer of the CD collection Ruth Draper and Her Company of Characters.